And we started on this about winning the battle for our mind. And I trust that we've been seeking the Lord's help with that. And I'd like to spend a little more time on this evening, as the Lord would allow us to. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. And let's pick it up in verse number 3 tonight as we begin reading. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Heavenly Father, thank you that we have the Bible tonight, and thank you that we can have victory in our minds. And we know that it is vital that we do. If we want to have victory as we walk in this world, we must have that victory. Please, Holy Spirit of God, empty me of myself, fill me with your presence, that I would speak what God would want spoken, that we would hear with our ears in tune with your word and your spirit. And, thank you, Lord, for the promise of victory in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Quickly, we considered several things last week. I'm just going to give you those, read them. We saw in verse number 3 that we walk in the flesh. We walk in the flesh. And this does not refer to being lost, but it refers to our fleshly and human state. There's absolutely nothing we can do about that. And that's what Paul was saying there. And then we said number 2 in verse 3, we war in the mind. We war in the mind. So we do not war after the flesh. But because we are flesh, we are tempted to do as the flesh would do. Paul said about that in Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And then we said number 3 in 2 Corinthians 10:4, that our weapons are not carnal. We cannot fight this battle after the flesh. It's unprofitable to fight the war in this way. And we talked extensively about that. And then we said, number 4, in verse number 4, that our weapons are spiritual. Our weapons are spiritual. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we talked a little bit about those two words in verse number 5, casting down, to pull down, to take down, to destroy. These are thoughts and reasons that are against God. And we talked about this, most times if we're not careful, we entertain entirely too many thoughts that are anti-Bible and anti-God. And when we do that, it's not a surprise that we would begin to act in a certain way. So that's why the battle does not begin in going out and not doing something. The battle begins right here in establishing our thought process biblically. And so this is about where we left off last week. And we talked last week about, so then how do we cast down imaginations and bring our thoughts into captivity? And this is where we kind of left off last week. We said number 1, and I think we did mention this, filling ourselves. Number 1, how do we cast down imaginations and bring our thoughts into captivity? Number 1, fill ourselves with the Word of God. Turn to John chapter 8, please. John chapter 8. Fill ourselves with the Word of God. John 8:32. Familiar verse to I would say most of us here tonight. We can read verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If we know God's word, we can have freedom in our mind. Taking God's word and immersing ourselves in the word of God. There is no one here tonight that if we would dedicate ourselves to filling ourselves with this book, there's no one here tonight that cannot see victory over some kind of thinking that is wrong. Because the word of God is more powerful than anything. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, as we know that. And we have it here. We have it in print. We have it online. We have it in a little phone. We have so much of the word of God. So then what's the problem? Problem is we're not filling ourselves with the word of God enough. And we're going to talk about what it is we're filling ourselves with, and that's where the problem lies. And so we have the truth, John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. This is why it's important that we hide God's word in our heart. When we look at something and we look at a decision that we need to make in our life, here's where our thought process should go. Is there something biblical that I need to use here to help me make this decision? Is there a way that I need to go about this decision that will honor God? I need to find out in God's word, is it clearly laid out? Is there a principle within God's word to help me make this decision? Let me give you an example. If you start dating an unsaved person, I can tell you right now that is not God's will. Because I would never date someone that I am not planning on marrying someday. You follow? And so the Bible says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." And so if somebody came to me and said, "Pastor Turner, I found someone. They're a really nice man. They're a really nice lady. And, you know, they're not on Canada's most wanted list. And they pay their bills. And they've got a good job. And they give me, 10 reasons why." You know what? If they don't come to this one and say, I've heard their Christian testimony. They love the Lord, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to ask that individual, are they saved? And if they say, "Well, I never really got to that part," well, then we have to submit to the Word of God. And again, the Word of God is very clear. I mean, yes, there are different things that we have to maybe dig a little more, and we have to seek God's help with making decisions. I just used one in particular. I'm just saying that we as Christians, we can't allow media, we can't allow popularity, we can't allow what feels good. We can't allow what the world says. We definitely can't allow Hollywood to think for us. But you know what? We do sometimes. We allow all of those things that I just listed sometimes to think for us. No. If we're going to cast down imaginations, we're going to have to fill ourselves with the Word of God and make this the final authority. That's the question you need to ask yourself tonight. Is God's word the final authority in my life? I know that I'm gonna say I hope it is in my life. I'm not gonna stand here and say that every decision I make completely 100% of the time honors God's word, because I'm a sinner. But the goal for my life and the goal for your life ought to be that the final authority is not feelings. The final authority is not what looks good. The final authority is not what somebody told me. So-and-so told me. No, what does God's word say? This has got to be our final authority for faith and practice. And we talked about how God's word shapes our minds. You know the antithesis of that, the opposite of that also shapes your mind? The world will shape your mind. The flesh, if allowed to, will shape my mind. Believe me, the entertainment world wants to shape my mind. Why? Money. To buy the movies, to buy the music, to spend the money, whatever. I'm just, again, another example. But there's plenty of things out there. There's plenty of entities out there that want to shape my mind, and then they want to shape the youth's minds. mainly all about financial gain. And so fill yourself with the Word of God. Fill yourself with the Word of God. If the Word of God gets 5 minutes of your day, I'm going to just tell you something right now. You're going to have a hard time casting down imaginations. I don't know how much time you need in the Word of God to effectively do battle with the enemy, but I can almost rest assured, even 10 minutes is probably not enough. I say that almost facetiously. Look, we are talking about the prince and power of the air. We are talking about someone who looks at, you know, Christian A over here, who opens this book for 5 minutes and expects to win the battle, and the prince and power of the air, literally, I can almost literally hear his satanic laugh. We have no chance. I have no chance. As a father, as a husband, as a Christian, as a whatever, I have no chance if I am not filling myself with the Word of God. This thing's going to go wonky. And when this goes wonky, these go wonky. And these go wonky. And everything I do, right here. Got to fill myself with the Word of God. I don't know. How much time do I need, Pastor? I don't know. You're going to have to get into the Word of God and figure that out. But I know this, a casual glancing at the Word of God daily is not enough. We've got to dig into this Word and fill ourselves with it. Number two, turn to Galatians chapter 5. So how do we cast down imaginations? Galatians chapter 5, as you're turning there, listen carefully to this verse. Maybe you want to jot the reference down. Romans 7:23. Paul says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of the mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is my members. There's that thought again, bringing me into captivity. Yet we have the opportunity, and as we've been looking at in our text about casting down imagination. Number two, how do we cast down imaginations? Number two, Galatians 5, 16 and 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. That's number two. Walk in the Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the what? Flesh. If I walk in the Spirit, I can have victory in the mind. Which means I will have victory over the flesh. Because I'm walking in the Spirit. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the, I've underlined this, Spirit against the flesh. Two forces within. As a Christian, we have two forces within us. We have the Holy Spirit, and we have the flesh. Praise God that the Holy Spirit is powerful. And more than able, if I'm walking in the Spirit and filled with the Spirit, more than able to give me victory over the flesh. But they are contrary, the Bible says, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. To walk in the Spirit, here's what it means, simply this. To be led by the Spirit and live by what the Spirit says. Do you hear the Holy Spirit audibly, Pastor Ben? No, I don't. The Holy Spirit guides through the Word of God. The two go hand in hand. The Holy Spirit is the author of this Bible that we revere and respect and hopefully we're living by. And we desire to hear, and we have a readiness to not only hear, but to obey the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will never lead me contrary to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will never lead you contrary to the commands of this book. So if I'm being led to do something against the Word of God, it is not the Holy Spirit that is leading. Therefore, I am not walking as I ought to be in the Spirit. There is daily direction needed. Let's look at a couple other verses. Look at Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse number 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the what? Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Let's go back to that. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. How many of you tonight have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Raise your hand. If your hand is up right now, then the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling in you. You may put your hand down. The Holy Spirit of God is dwelling in you. That means that you have the ability, and I have the ability, to live walking daily in that Spirit. It's control. It will, through the Word of God, my mind will be controlled in a way that we want it to be, that we want it to be controlled. I'll think biblically, I'll act biblically, I'll talk biblically, all of it coming from the mind. Again, somebody that is complaining all the time is not walking in the Spirit. Because the Spirit will not lead you to complain. The Bible speaks very clearly about these things. Be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so if I find myself on a Monday morning or a Thursday morning or whatever morning, I don't know why it would always be in the morning. Mornings are awesome. And that sun comes up so early and you get that coffee going and get your Bible out. I love mornings. I think my complaining would be at night. Because that's when I'm just done. Stick a fork in me, done. But if I'm walking in the Spirit, even if I'm done, then I won't complain. Because in everything, give thanks. But what about this? I don't know how you can describe something that isn't everything. But it's everything. I have to give thanks for it. I may not like it, but I've got to give thanks in everything. I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. So forth. So when we are walking in the Spirit, we won't find ourselves contrary to the Word of God. Quickly, if you'll go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We can cast down imaginations. God has given us the equipment to do it. Fill yourself with the Word of God. Walk in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 23. You've got to pick up the pace here a little bit. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And I wrote this down, wrote this thought down. Keep listening to God. We will be changed. You see that? Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It's created. It's happening. As we listen to God, as we're walking in the Spirit, as we're immersed in the Word of God, what's going to happen? I'm going to change. Things are going to start. I'm going to start thinking like a Christian. Things are going to slowly and methodically, but they're going to change. The things I used to do, I won't do them anymore. How is that happening? Through the power of the Word of God and walking in the Spirit of God. Other verses of Scripture about this are Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. We won't turn there for time's sake. Let's look at Colossians 3, 16 quickly. Colossians 3:16, number one, fill yourself with the Word of God. Number two, walk in the Spirit. Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in you richly. In all wisdom. How's the Word of God? Is it dwelling in us tonight? Poorly or richly? Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 now. Number three. Okay, so we said number one, fill ourselves with the Word of God. We said number two, walk in the Spirit. Now, here's where I believe the rubber meets the road for us as believers. And it's in that sixth verse. And having in a readiness to, what's that next word? Revenge. You know, no, we would never tell someone, have a spirit of revenge. But here, Paul says, yeah, you need to revenge some things. Different word. Revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Number three, do what is necessary to have victory. Do what is necessary to have victory. The word readiness is a word we would use preparation. Prepared. Having a readiness to revenge all disobedience. What does this mean, to revenge all disobedience? Here's what it means. Determine not to let it happen again. Determine to do what is right. I'm filling myself with the Word of God. I'm walking in the Spirit of God. There's going to come temptation. There's going to come the devil. Again, the devil's still going to try to trip me up, trip you up. So I have to ask myself this question. Do I revenge disobedience or do I reward it? Pastor Ben, we would never reward disobedience. Okay, what kind of television are you watching right now? Are they taking God's name in vain? If so, that's rewarding disobedience. You follow that? Do we not agree with that? If we're listening to somebody take God's name in vain on our television, we are rewarding disobedience. And if we have that, we need to stop listening to it. If anything that we're doing, again, this comes back to the Word of God. If we're living in a certain way that is displeasing to God, we're not revenging disobedience. To continue to do it is to reward it. Here's the thought. We must get rid of anything that contributes to my walking in the flesh. Get rid of it. If it contributes to my violating the scriptural principle. We can be victorious, but I am not sure we are willing to do whatever is necessary to have victory. Because we're so used to this way of living that we're not willing to revenge disobedience. Quickly go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. You have not so learned Christ. You have not so learned how to live like Christ. Oh, Pastor, we know who Jesus Christ is, but we want to learn Christ. The next verse. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, and as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. That's that same thought. Revenge of disobedience. Put off that old man, which is corrupt to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Talked about this earlier. Let's go down to verse number 26. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Okay, right here, verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. The word place means an inhabited place as a city, village, district, opportunity, power, occasion for acting. Neither give place to the devil. Scotsman John Phillips said this, quote, "Once a person lets his thoughts wander down some impure path, hidden legions joyfully emerge and stampede, pushing the mind into all kinds of sin. And you and I are helpless. When we give place to the devil, and we take that first whatever, that first thought, that first whatever, it's like all of hell. And I know that this is hard to grasp because we don't see it, and we're that kind of people. But they're there. The demons are there. Yes, you can't be possessed of a demon if you're saved. You can't be inhibited by a demon. I'm not worried about that part, because I can't be inhibited by the Holy Spirit and by a demon, but I can be oppressed. And so can you. That as soon as I have that thought, those demons and those enemies and helpers, I can't think of the word I'm wanting right now, but the helpers of the devil are there ready to pounce and say, oh, okay, here, let me help you with the next thought. Let me help you with the next thought. And as we're taking things in through these eyes, and we're taking things, sound, music sometimes through these ears, and we're allowing things in, we're giving place. Maybe it's something that we're reading that we should not be. Maybe it's a website that we have no business being on. And I looked at that thought, I looked at that corner, I thought, wow, why is it so important that we have this immersed in the Word of God, walking in the Spirit of God, but then taking that really that next step, that we do whatever is necessary. You know, something so drastic as maybe we need to not have the internet at our fingertips all the time. But I have to this and I have to that. And I'll tell you, I use it all the time. But does it use you or use me? That's the question. It's a tool, yes, and it's a wonderful tool. I love to be able to communicate with our missionaries like that. Pray with them and even communicate with them over the phone, just like that, for no extra charge. But wait a minute. There might be someone here tonight that the internet is something that you need to just say, well, you know what? I need 30 days away from this thing. I say drastic because, again, that's tongue in cheek. You know, what is it that you're willing to give up for a clear and clean mind? There shouldn't be anything that we're not willing to give up for a clear and clean mind. Because again, that's where it's starting. Other things. I don't know. I'm just using that as an example. I want to challenge you tonight. If you don't have this already, set up a schedule to read and meditate on the Word of God every day. Set up a schedule. Read and meditate on the Word of God. Don't just read it a chapter and close your Bible and say, I got my chapter in. What did that chapter just tell you? Who was it speaking to? Who was it written to? Is there any commands in there that you need to start obeying? Some of you have heard this before. You know what? Some of you haven't. And some of us need to do a better job of it. What's in this text for me for today? And I believe that every time we open the Word of God, God has something for us. So set that time. Don't miss it. Make that appointment. Meditate on certain scriptures. Maybe say, I struggle with this. And if you send me a call me or send me a text message or write me an email and say, Pastor, what are some scriptures that I can read to help me with this? I'd be glad to help you. And get those scriptures and put them on a 3x5 card and look at them every day and immerse yourself with the Bible. I guarantee you, if you put yourself into this book and put this book into yourself, you will stop complaining. Bitterness can be taken away. Bad thoughts can go bye-bye real quick if we do that with the Word of God. Secondly, seek advice on some godly books to read. Again, start with this. You don't need anybody else's writing until you get this, start reading this. But, you know, God has allowed me to collect several really good books that might help you on a certain subject that would just simply complement what God's Word says. Find an accountability partner. Find an accountability partner. A man and a man, or woman with woman. Maybe it's husband and wife. Did you read your Bible today? Say, come on, I'm not 12, Pastor. No, but if you're having trouble reading the Bible, wouldn't it be good to have a brother or sister in Christ who loves you send you a little note and say, what'd you get from your Bible reading today? You're not going to get anything out of your Bible reading when it's closed. It doesn't work that way. Again, what are we willing to do to have a clean and clear mind? You know what it's going to take? Humility. Humility. I need some help being accountable. You know what that is? Humility. By the way, we all need help. We all need help. I need help. You need help. Don't miss church. Don't miss church. The time that you just can't make it and you miss, you never know what God has prepared for you in that one meeting. Do everything that you possibly can to be in every service that you possibly can. Don't miss. It's helping you. It's putting good in here. By the way, come to church with an empty cup and ask the Lord to fill it. Don't come thinking, I don't really need this today. I've had a long day. I just want to go home and put my feet up. Probably everybody does to an extent. But on a Wednesday night, we try to honor your time, but we also want to come and expect something from God. We don't come just to go home. We come to get something from God. God, I've got an empty spiritual cup. Would you put something in it? And every time that we expose ourselves to the Word of God, God, my cup is empty. Please fill it. This Baptist Friends Conference is coming up from Friday at noon. And I know many of you are working on Friday at noon. You can't come Friday at noon. But if anybody can, the doors are going to be open Friday at noon till about Saturday at noon, June 5th and 6th. There's going to be at least five times the Word of God is going to be preached in just under 24 hours. I can't wait to hear the Word of God preached. I can't wait to sing the songs of Zion with fellow believers in Christ. I can't wait to meet some new friends in the ministry or in the work of the Lord. I'm just saying, we have so, again, what else could we be doing during that time? If we're working, that's fine. We have to be at work. But when work's done, if you can get here, be at every part of it. Again, it's helping what? Helping strengthen us so that we can cast down imagination. We can have our hearts and minds linked with the Lord. The battle for the mind is ongoing. Lastly, number four, watch and pray. Watch and pray. What do we do? We're going to cast down imagination. Number one, immerse ourselves in the Word of God. Fill yourself with the Word of God. Two, walk in the Spirit. Three, do what is necessary to win. But number four, watch and pray. Jesus said that in Matthew 26, 41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. To watch means to be alert, to be aware of possible temptations, spiritually equipped to fight the battle. Mark 14, 38 is another verse. Watch and pray. Will we tonight decide to do all that is necessary win the battle in our mind? God has given us the ability. God has given us, the tools needed to have victory in the mind. You just have to pick the tools up. Use them. And those tools start right here in God's Word. So if nothing else, determine that this Word of God is going to be opened and in your hand every day. And you're saying, God, you know me better than anybody knows me. I need something from your Word today for my life. God will provide. You think God's going to answer that prayer? I know he's going to answer that prayer.